Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this episode, I want to talk about the provision of gas from Russia to Europe. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that this has been one of the biggest issues that Europe and the West have faced with regards to the Ukraine war. And the reason that it's such a big issue is that Europe has built a lot of its infrastructure to be dependent on natural gas that it's been sourcing from Russia. Because Russia installed pipelines all across Europe, it was able to provide really cheap gas efficiently and cost effectively to a lot of countries. And as a result of that, those countries built power stations that use that gas. So up until the start of the Ukraine war, this situation was working fine. However, as Europe and the West started to impose sanctions on Russia, it became evident that the big problem was that Russia could cut off those gas supplies and therefore cause blackouts in some of these countries and also problems with the provision of gas to households where they use it for cooking and heating. So as a result of this situation, it became very difficult for the European countries to be able to walk away from those gas purchases. So they've had to keep buying from Russia. Now, Russia, on the flip side of this, is aware that all these European countries want to walk away from these purchases. In the medium to long term, Europe will stop buying gas from Russia. So Russia now has a decision to make as to whether or not it cuts the supplies overnight and causes the maximum amount of chaos that it can within the European countries. And in today's video, I want to talk about what's going on with the Nord Stream pipeline, because there's been another switch off. It's been reported that it's for technical reasons, but let's have a look at the detail on that and decide whether or not that's actually correct. We'll then have a look at the current levels of storage that all of the European countries have. And I recently posted a video on this, talking about the fact that the storage levels are now above 75% for the EU, which is the target that the EU had set for November the 1st. And that's a positive sign. But I think what's really important to look at here is how long those storage levels will last if Russia cuts all future supplies. So how quickly will each country run down its supplies and get to the point where it is actually out of gas and run the risk of having blackouts? We'll then have a look at the measures that the European countries are introducing to try to reduce the amount of gas that's being consumed. And we'll talk about the price cap that's now being proposed amongst the European countries. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months and what the implications of this are for both Russia and Europe and the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so you can skip over things if you don't have time to watch everything or you're not that interested in a particular section. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below, where you'll find links to YouTube, Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. The Nord Stream 1 pipeline stretches for 745 miles under the Baltic Sea from the Russian coast near St. Petersburg to northeastern Germany. It was constructed at a cost of $11 billion as a joint venture between Russia and Germany and opened in 2011. It can send a maximum of 170 million cubic meters of gas per day from Russia to Germany. Since it opened, the pipeline has been so successful and demand for gas has risen so much that a second pipeline, Nord Stream 2, was constructed alongside the pipeline. You can see on this graphic that it runs in exactly the same course. Nord Stream 2 was completed in November 2021. However, it has never opened and never become operational due to the fact that the USA was opposed to doubling down on the provision of gas from Russia to Germany on the basis that it would give Russia too much political leverage over the supply of gas to Europe. This graphic shows the amount of gas that's been transmitted through Nord Stream 1 every year since 2013. And you can see for the last 4 years, it's been operating at close to maximum capacity and providing around 59 billion cubic meters directly to Germany. On the 19th of August, Gazprom announced that Nord Stream was due to close for further maintenance between the 31st of August and the 2nd of September. And this was a surprise to the markets because Nord Stream had been closed between the 11th of July and the 21st of July for planned maintenance and raised concerns that the Russian authorities were starting to use Nord Stream for political purposes. On the 2nd of September, the day before the pipeline was due to reopen, Gazprom announced that it had found an oil leak and therefore was no longer able to reopen the pipeline on the 3rd of September. Siemens Energy, which normally services Nord Stream 1 turbines, said such a leak should not stop the pipeline from operating. It also said that the compressor station where the leak was discovered had other turbines for Nord Stream to keep it operating. Now, the latest closure of the Nord Stream pipeline follows on from a massive reduction in volume that we've seen coming through the Nord Stream pipeline. In July, the amount of gas delivered to Germany reduced to around 40% of the maximum capacity. And in August, that was further reduced to 20%. So what we're seeing here is a huge reduction in the volume of gas being supplied to Europe. And the question is, will Russia now use this as an opportunity to switch off the supply entirely? As I mentioned at the start of the video, a lot of countries in Europe are dependent upon natural gas for the production of electricity, and they also supply it directly to households, where it's used for heating and cooking. So it's absolutely critical for the winter period. And what I want to do now is look at the storage levels in the EU, and then have a look at what those storage levels mean in terms of the amount of gas that each country is using, and when they would run out of gas if they had to rely entirely upon their own storage rather than any new supplies coming directly from Russia. This table shows the percentage storage levels for all of the EU countries as at the 1st of September 2022. If you follow the channel, you'll be aware that the EU originally set a target for all of the EU countries to be at 75% by the 1st of November. That target has subsequently been lifted to 80%. And you can see in the line across the top here that the EU as a whole is now above 80% capacity. So the EU has met its initial target. However, I want to pick out a number of countries individually. In terms of the maximum amount of storage, you can see that Portugal is now at 100% capacity and Poland is above 99%. So both of these countries have now filled their storage tanks as full as they can be. Now, in terms of economic importance, the largest single economy in the EU is Germany, and it's also the fourth largest economy in the world. Gas storage levels in Germany are now at around 84%, which is above the EU target but isn't quite at the 100% level. The country that has the next largest exposure to Russian gas supplies is Italy, because a lot of electricity is generated in Italy from gas supplies, and it's also fed directly to consumers. And Italy's storage levels are currently sitting at around 83%. The other country that I wanted to highlight here is Austria, because Austria is a landlocked country, so it doesn't have any coastline, and therefore it's more difficult to be able to switch to LNG, because LNG is transported over the sea, and countries with coastlines will be setting up floating LNG regasification facilities to be able to feed gas directly into their networks. Austria don't have that option, and historically they've been sourcing 100% of gas from Russia. So Austria is facing a huge challenge in terms of replacing those gas supplies. And it needs to fill its storage tanks as rapidly as possible. And unfortunately, Austria is lagging behind the rest of Europe and is only sitting with around 67% storage right now. And the reason for that is that they've received reduced levels of supplies from Russia, and therefore they've been using those supplies and been unable to put excess into the storage tanks. So this is a real problem for Austria. So storage levels are improving and they're above 80% for most of the EU countries. What I wanted to do now is really have a look at what those storage levels will mean in terms of capacity to feed their own supplies in the event that Russia switches off all new gas supplies. This graph shows the projected date that the major countries in Europe would run out of gas in the event that they managed to get 100% capacity in their storage tanks. And the bars that I want you to focus in on here are the pink bars, because this shows the projected date. Now, if we pick out the EU first, you can see that in the event that the EU manages to get to 100% capacity, so all of the storage tanks are completely full, if Russia stopped all future supplies of gas in that situation, the EU would make it till around the 1st of February 2023 before those storage tanks ran dry. So that would get the EU through most of the winter. But the winter period in Europe runs until the end of March, early April. So clearly we have a problem. But in order to analyse how big the problem is, let's have a look at the individual countries and pick out the countries that we've just discussed. If we start with Germany, if Germany manages to get its tanks to 100% capacity, which would mean another 16% compared to where they are as of the 1st of September, those storage levels would see Germany through until the middle of February. So obviously that is not long enough to get everybody through the complete winter. However, it does give Germany more time. They'd be able to bide more time to try to get replacement gas through the regasification of LNG, or maybe taking some electricity supplies from some of the neighbouring countries. Unfortunately, the situation for Italy is not quite as positive. If Italy can get its storage levels to 100%, which means another 17% from where they were at the 1st of September, those levels would get them through to somewhere around the middle of January. So Italy would be looking at least a two-month period where it would run short during the winter months. And the problem that we have here is obviously this gas is being used to produce electricity. So it's not just running out of heating. There is a potential that Italy would run out of electricity at that point, and it would put a lot more pressure on the other forms of generation. The situation for Austria actually looks quite positive. If Austria was to have 100% storage, then that would actually see Austria through until the beginning of May. But the problem that Austria has, as we've just discussed, is that they're currently sitting with around two-thirds of their storage tanks full. So they are a long way away from 100%. And in the event that they can't fill any of their tanks any further, there is a real possibility that Austria would run out of gas and therefore potentially electricity at some point during January 2023. So Austria is under immense pressure right now to fill those tanks. And the problem that they have is they're entirely dependent on Russia giving them more gas to fill the tanks. And Russia is on the point where it's considering switching everything off. And Russia is obviously fully aware that countries like Austria would be in serious difficulty if they can't source more gas now to fill those storage tanks. Now, one thing I think is very interesting about this chart is what's going on with Portugal. As we discussed previously, Portugal is sitting with 100% storage. So on paper, you would think that that represents a very strong position for Portugal. However, when you look at how long that storage would actually last for Portugal, you can see that 100% storage would actually run out during November 2022 if Portugal was unable to replenish those supplies. So it gives you an indication as to how statistics can be misleading. You would think that Portugal was in the best position, but actually because they've got a limited amount of storage, it doesn't actually go that far. 100% storage in Portugal doesn't even get them to the end of this year, which potentially is a major problem for Portugal because they're still generating a significant amount of electricity from gas. However, the benefits that Portugal have is that they have significant amounts of coastline, so therefore can switch to LNG relatively quickly. And they're also neighbours of Spain and potentially could take some electricity generation from Spain directly. One final country I'll pick out from this table is Ukraine on the far right-hand side. And you can see that the storage tanks in Ukraine, if they were 100% full, would enable the country to get through to the start of March in the event of no further gas supplies. However, the current storage levels in the country are sitting at around 27% as of the 1st of September. So they're a long way from being full. EU Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen has stated that Europe now needs to impose a price cap on Russian pipeline gas in order to foil what she says are Vladimir Putin's attempts to manipulate the bloc's energy market. Now, this is obviously quite a radical proposal, and it's difficult to imagine how that price cap would operate in practice. When we talk about price caps, either they're self-imposed, so a company will impose its own price caps and therefore take a reduced amount of profit. Or if we're talking about energy, quite often governments will impose a price cap and tell each of the individual companies within its jurisdiction that they're not allowed to charge customers above a certain level. And either the government will provide a subsidy to those companies to make up for the lost revenue, or they'll just reduce the amount of profit that each of those companies is allowed to earn. But when we're talking about another country supplying gas directly, it's difficult to really think through how that would work in practice. The only way that it could operate is that the supplies would be given and then the payments made would be lower than what Russia is asking for. So if we take an example as to how this would work, if Russia supplies 1 billion cubic meters of gas to Germany and sends a bill for that amount, Germany could then elect to only pay 50% of that bill because they're applying a price cap. Now, the likely situation thereafter is that Russia would close down the supply entirely because they wouldn't be prepared to continue supplying gas on the basis that Germany wants to pay for it. So the EU price cap that's being mooted really isn't practical in real terms because Russia would not stand for it. It's very, very unlikely that Russia would accept a reduced payment for all of the gas supplies. And in fact, the Russians have already come out and stated this. Former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev has said Moscow would turn off supplies to Europe if Brussels imposed such a cap. There would simply be no Russian gas in Europe, he wrote on the Telegram app in response to von der Leyen's statement. So the overall situation that Europe is facing right now is that even if all of the gas storage tanks are full by the end of November, it's likely that gas will run out during the winter or spring of 2023, depending on how severe the winter is. If we have a particularly cold winter, then obviously more gas would be needed and we could run through those supplies much quicker than projected in the tables that we just looked at. Now, as a result of this, European countries are instructing all of their consumers to reduce the amount of power and energy that they're using on an ongoing basis. In July of this year, the 27 EU countries agreed to cut gas usage by 15% this winter from the average winter levels between 2017 and 2021. On a positive note, Europe's gas consumption in the first half of August was 11% lower than the five-year average. However, this is obviously below the 15% target that's been set by the EU. German industry's gas use actually reduced 21% in July compared with the 2018-21 average. But before that, no other month had seen a bigger than 14% cut. A leading figure in the German energy market said that Germany needs to cut its gas use between 20 and 25% this winter, which includes lowering demand from households, a move he said must be accompanied by more government action to shield low-income households from the surging cost of gas and power. So what he's indicating there is that the government needs to fund this. They need to give people subsidies, pay them to reduce the amount of energy that they're using. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I've been talking about the gas supplies to Europe for a long period of time, and it's really starting to heat up now. Russia is starting to turn the screw. Russia is fully aware that the EU has a long-term goal of stopping buying all of its gas, and it may well decide that it wants to switch off those supplies immediately. We could see all gas supplies ceasing before winter 2022 kicks in. And this would be a problem for Europe because even though they're filling their storage tanks right now, they're not at 100% capacity yet. And if you're not at 100%, then the numbers that we talked about earlier, the dates that we're looking at in terms of when will that storage run out, will obviously come a lot quicker. So it would be at some point during spring 23 that the biggest economies would make it through to. But if they're only sitting at 85% capacity, then it's likely that those dates would come back to somewhere like December or January. And that would be in the heart of the winter. And that's the worst possible time for all of those economies. Because it's not just the provisional electricity that that gas is being used for. It's also supplied directly to households in key economies such as Germany and Italy for heating and cooking purposes. So we are facing a real prospect that some of the biggest economies in the EU could be looking at either blackouts or not being able to supply their households with sufficient fuel for heating and cooking all the way through the winter period. And we've not seen anything like that in Europe since World War II. This would be the biggest crisis in the last 80 years. And that's why the EU is really working as hard as it can to get those storage levels up. Now, we've talked about the alternatives a lot on the channel. LNG is the most suitable replacement for gas through the pipelines. But the problem with LNG is that you have to have regasification facilities, they're offshore, and they're expensive and they take time to set up. We do know that a lot of countries like Germany and Italy have been setting up these facilities. They do have some replacements that are coming online very soon. So there is some alternatives. And countries can also export electricity directly. So it's possible that other countries in the EU could help out. But the bottom line on all of this is that it's much more expensive than the current form of provision. The gas that's been supplied by Russia through pipelines is the cheapest available anywhere in the world. So any alternative that you move towards will cost more. And that's what's happening all across Europe right now. And this is coming at a time when we've already got really high inflation and a lot of economies are on the brink of moving into recession. So all that's going to happen if Russia decides that it switches off all of the gas tomorrow is that we will see a further increase in costs, as well as the potential for blackouts and shortages. So this is a double whammy that Russia could impose on the whole of Europe. And this is going to accelerate the likelihood of the recession. We know that some countries in Europe are already potentially in recession. The UK hasn't officially declared its recession yet, but we have seen two consecutive quarters of reduced GDP, and that's generally acknowledged as a definition of a recession. We've got a similar situation in Germany. It's likely that Italy will follow suit and France. So we're starting to see a recession creeping into Europe. But if the gas is switched off, it's likely that that will accelerate and it will be deeper than everybody expects, because the cost of everything will go up and we could potentially have companies going bust because they don't have access to either gas or electricity that they need. So if the gas is switched off, it's likely that the recession that would kick in would be deeper than the one we saw in 2007, 2008 as a result of the global financial crisis. So this is a really serious time for Europe. And of course, as you'll know if you watch the channel, the whole of the world is interconnected. So if Europe goes into recession, that will have a massive knock-on impact to the rest of the world. And it's likely that we will see a global recession. And we're already seeing it anyway, because we've seen the price of energy and food and commodities go sky high. And that's putting pressure on a lot of countries already. But if we see that switch off, it's going to be a really bad situation for the whole of the globe. But Russia is not immune to this. And actually, Russia could be worse off than any other country, because Russia is exporting over $1 billion worth of gas every single week. In 2021, Russia earned around $54 billion in gas exports through its pipelines. So if it switches off that pipeline, it's going to lose over $50 billion of income. Now, LNG exports for Russia in 2021 only amounted to around $8 billion. And one of the reasons for that is that you have to have all of the infrastructure in place to be able to convert gas into liquefied gas. And Russia simply can't switch all of the gas supplies to Europe into LNG. So there is a potential here that Russia could lose $50 billion of income if it switches off those gas pipelines. And that is going to have a serious impact on the Russian economy at a time when the sanctions are already kicking in hard. So this would be a case of biting your nose off to spite your face, shooting yourself in the foot. Yes, Russia will cause chaos in a lot of Europe, but Europe will survive that chaos. It will find alternative ways to produce electricity. It will get through the winter period. People may have to pay more, or potentially everybody may need to turn their thermostats down or put an extra jumper on. But Europe will survive this period. Russia will be adding more problems to its own economy if it stops those gas supplies. And that could cause Russia to go into a super deep recession or depression at some point in the next 3 to 6 months. So there's a real risk here that Russia playing political games could cause itself even more damage than it has done already. So there's a lot at stake right now. And the latest switch off of the Nord Stream pipeline could be the start of a closing down of the whole supplies to Europe. And that will cause major problems in Europe. However, because of the storage levels, it's likely that Europe will be able to defer those problems and give itself some time to try to get alternatives in place. And it's likely, I think, that they can do that, but it will be much more expensive. So it will increase the cost of energy, which feeds through into the cost of everything. So it's likely that we'll continue to see high levels of inflation and we will see this recession kicking in. In terms of the immediate impact on Russia, they are going to lose huge amounts of revenue at a time when they desperately need the money. So this is going to be a really big call by President Putin. If he switches off those gas supplies, all of that revenue stops overnight and it's going to add even more pressure on the Russian economy. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's episode, you found it interesting and informative. I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments. Please give me a thumbs up if you've liked what I've said, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.